Hi, I'm Susanna Hewson from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Tim Stutt and Carolyn Pugsley reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is the modified liability regime under the Australian Sustainability Reporting Standards. Before we get into it, though, I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So, Kaz, why is a modified liability regime important?
Well, I will try and take my lawyer's hat off because we think all liability regimes are important and really focus on why this one is particularly important. And I think one of the things that hits you in the face pretty quickly once you start diving through the sustainability reporting standards is, in comparison to ordinary financial reporting standards, which are mostly backward looking with a tiny bit of ongoing forward looking type pieces, most of what we're putting in these reports is likely to have a continued future or full future type lens on it. And to give you an illustration, the types of things that these standards are requiring companies to talk about are what their targets are for climate in particular. And, you know, as we are now very much seeing, a lot of those will be net zero and have long time frames attached to them. We'll have lots of assumptions and dependencies about things that may or may not happen in the future built into those targets. What this is kind of laying over the top are new concepts of climate risks and opportunities and impacts on your business. And the standard is looking for things to be disclosed like short, medium and long term impacts on cash flows, on financial positions, on your business model. And I think reality is companies are feeling quite uncomfortable about how they can satisfy those disclosures whilst not putting themselves in a position where they're setting themselves up for potential challenge or litigation if those things end up not being correct in the future. And so part of the liability regime, which I think is particularly important for directors who are ultimately going to sign off on these reports and ultimately also going to give an assurance that and a declaration that it satisfies the accounting standards, is that they'll have a level of protection where they've done the best job they could with the resources available, the knowledge available to them and the time available to actually make those statements in good faith, but without the threat of liability from external litigants, private litigants, I think, in particular. So that, in a not quite short nutshell, but in a modicum of time, is why we think that is a really important concept, this modified liability regime.
Absolutely. And so, Tim, can you actually tell us about what's being proposed and how this has come about?
So the modified liability regime, I guess the first point to make is that it's not a complete safe harbour in the way that some jurisdictions like the US have a safe harbour for forward-looking information. What's proposed is that there would be a transitional period during which private action could not be taken in relation to certain types of statements required for the purposes of the climate reporting regime, which we're adopting. Specifically, what is protected is future statements about climate for a period of 12 months, and then from the start date, for a period of 3 years from the start date, there is protection in relation to Scope 3 emissions disclosure, scenario analysis, and transition plans, which transition plans pick up the targets that Kaz is talking about. So your targets and how you're going to achieve them, or the pathway for achieving those targets, would be part of your transition plan. So it's sort of first 12 months, quite broad about future matters or forward-looking statements in relation to climate, and then 3 years for a narrower set of things, but still picking up most of the significant areas of uncertainty for companies. What's important to note, though, well, there's a couple of things. One is, throughout the modified liability period, ASIC can still take enforcement action. So there is expected to be the same standard applied to these types of disclosures, which you otherwise would. So you need to ensure that you have reasonable grounds for forward-looking statements that you're making and be prepared to substantiate them if tested. So that's sort of the first point. The second point to be aware of is while the statements in your sustainability report are protected, actually it's very limited in terms of using those same statements in other types of documents. So they'll only typically be protected outside of the sustainability report if the disclosure is being made for the purposes of a law of the Commonwealth. So the example given in the explanatory memorandum there is if you were to repeat your climate statement or some of your climate statements in a prospectus or a PDS. The other situation that we can sort of envisage happening, albeit it might be fairly rare, is where you have some sort of necessary update to your climate statements and it's being made for the purposes of continuous disclosure laws. So, for example, it's materially price sensitive and you're required to update the market on it. In those circumstances, we could see how the modified liability might apply there as well. But very importantly, it's not necessarily going to be an open protection for any type of repeating of the statements or use of the statements in things like investor presentations or on your websites or in your advertising. Actually, it will be quite a bit narrower and really needs to track back to the sustainability report. That's going to make it quite challenging for companies to really be able to rely on the modified liability relief for the reason that they will typically be wanting to communicate these core targets and their transition plans through a variety of different mediums. That coupled with the fact that ASIC has enforcement powers throughout the whole of the modified liability period really does mean companies should be continuing on with their standard approach, robustly testing the
verification, diligence, yes. And all the rest that I'm sure is in another podcast or will be soon.
Probably quite a few of them, I think, Kaz. So there is absolutely no taking your foot off the brake or your foot off the pedal, whichever one it is. No taking your foot off anything. But that will be important for companies to keep in mind while there is some sort of limited relief. Actually, it is incomplete, and they should be maintaining usual processes.
And I think you're absolutely right, Tim, in the sense that there is a bit of a push-pull between the risk protection approach, which would be put it in the climate report, leave it there, let the climate report speak for itself, and the reality of how significantly companies are needing to engage around climate strategies with key investors and, you know, other stakeholder groups during the year. And I think it will very much land on that. You know, the engagement must continue, the show must go on, even though, you know, it will not be kind of fully protected from a legal liability perspective.
And just in terms of the investor engagement, actually, one of the driving forces in where we've landed has been some of the feedback from investor groups throughout that they weren't supportive of safe harbours for the reason that they were concerned it might dilute the quality of the information being put out by companies. In that respect, actually, where we've landed is Treasury and the government's attempt to sort of thread the needle between that concern, but also be cognizant of some of directors' concerns about their exposure, given how uncertain some of the forward-looking aspects of their reporting will be. It would be a slightly unfortunate outcome if we wound up in a space where people are burying these pretty important investor messages in their climate report or their sustainability report, I should say, and not able to freely talk about them in other forums and actively engage on them. So it is a slightly unfortunate outcome from that point of view. However, being super practical about it, I think actually the show will go on for companies with investor engagement, and actually it'll be about bringing their verification processes up up the curve, so they are able to do that.
Yeah, a lot more connectedness within companies as well as to when messages are being repeated and reused, I think, than what occurs at the moment. There's a lot of focus on the initial piece, but I think that ongoing cycle is going to be a big focus.
So in terms of bite-sized insights, this modified liability regime is particularly important in the context of climate reporting, we would say. But it's good to remember that it does not provide full protection, nor does it apply across all forms of engagement. So it will be important to remember the foundations of forward-looking statements in that they must have a reasonable basis at the time they were made. Thanks for joining us. This was Tim Stutt, Carolyn Pugsley and Susanna Hewson reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify or SoundCloud, and visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.